Good evening, and nice to have you with us tonight. Thank you for joining us. And how many of you like these things? You notice how my glasses are nicely fogged up. How many of you like these things? Let's have a raise of hands here. Yeah. I think I've tried just about every style, and they're ugly, but they sort of hide my uglier face, so maybe it's a good thing. I wonder, have you ever forgotten your mask? You ever walked across a big parking lot and got ready to go into the store and realized that you'd forgotten your mask, and then you're confronted with all these mean and ugly looks, people questioning you? Maybe you've even been confronted by a passerby. A few months ago, my wife and I had a chance to go up to Prince George. We spent just a couple of days with Pastor and Mrs. Hallmark and tried to be an encouragement to them as our missionaries. And while we were there, I went to Costco by myself. I was going to pick up a few things that we wanted to get them. And I was texting with my wife. She was back at their place. I was texting with my wife on my phone. Well, of course, I have a phone that uses Face ID. And so, you know, every time she texts back to me, I'd have to, open up my screen and all this kinds of stuff. And finally, I got a little bit fed up with it because we were trying to decide something back and forth. And so I pulled my mask down and so the phone would open when she replied and that kind of stuff. And so there was some old lady. Now, get me this. I'm old, all right? So there was this old lady who said to me, she said, it doesn't do any good down there, as she walked by me. And I tell you, I really wanted to say to her, lady, do I look not old enough to understand that? There are some other probably not very Christian things I wanted to say as well, but I just looked at her and I kept moving and I didn't move the mask till I got by and then I pulled it back up. How many of you tonight maybe wish you had invested in mask manufacturing a year ago? You know, I think all of us would be quite well to do. Well, I said on Sunday this evening, we're gonna chat about mask and what to do, and does the Bible have any help for us? So we're gonna do that tonight, and I trust you'll all take careful attention and listen carefully, and let's hear what God has to say. So let's open with a word of prayer. Well, Father, again, we are grateful to be able to come together in this fashion. It's not ideal, Lord. It's not what we want it to be. But, Lord, we're able to do this tonight. And I pray, Lord, that as we look to the Word of God, and, Lord, as we discuss some very pertinent current issues right now, things that are impacting us, you know, right here, right now, where we live, I ask, Lord, that you'll help us to learn what we need to learn, but also, Lord, that we would begin to understand that your word, the Bible, always has something to help us. And so, Lord, again, we thank you for each one that's come, and Lord, would you guide each one of us individually, direct us so that we might know your will and be following it. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me be very clear at the outset. I do not like masks, and I do not like wearing a mask. My wife dislikes them even more than me. You know, we put them on like you do. We go into the store, and it seems like no sooner than we get in the store than my nose begins to itch, and it begins to drip, and, you know, we look both ways, and we pull it down. It seems like every time I'm looking at my wife, she's looking around, she pulls it down, and she's rubbing her face and rubbing her nose. And, of course, Bonnie Henry at that point would be horrified because that was the thing she was concerned about, touching our faces. But having said that, I do wear a mask. I wear it before services here at church, even with just our support teams, and I've asked them to do the same. I wear it when I stop by somebody's house, even if I'm not going in, and I will only take it off if they say, oh, it's okay, you can go ahead and take it off, standing there talking to the person at the door. and when going indoors to public places as mandated, transit, which I think is probably a smart move. And I don't take a lot of transit, but those of you that live on transit, it's probably a smart thing. Restaurants, coffee shops, stores, the mall, all the same places you wear a mask, I wear a mask. I don't wear a mask in my house. I don't wear a mask while I'm driving in my car. I've had a hard time figuring that one out. People alone by themselves driving with a mask on. I don't wear a mask when I'm taking a walk, or and I don't take a wear a mask while I'm here during the week doing my work, going to and fro throughout the building. So you might ask, so Pastor, why do you wear a mask? Well, I do have reasons. But first, let me share that even though I wear a mask, it's not for the following reasons, okay? So I'm going to try, hopefully not too confusing tonight. I wear a mask, but not for this reason. I don't wear masks because I'm afraid of COVID being everywhere or that I'm afraid of dying. I think you understand me when I say I'm ready to die and I'm not ready to die. My salvation is secure. Heaven will be my home. But I haven't received dying grace from the Lord, so I want to live. But the fact is, COVID is a reality, whether we like it or not. I was talking with Pastor Bob Wall yesterday, and he shared that his son-in-law's father, Brother Claire Boffman, a 40-year-old veteran of the mission field in France, had come home with his wife over the holidays so they could spend time with their families. While he was home, he contracted COVID and died yesterday, just that morning. Once in the hospital, his son did not get a chance to see his dad again. Yes, this virus strikes the elderly. Yes, it strikes those with underlying conditions. But I read something, I don't know, it's probably been a couple months ago, that really struck me. It was written by a doctor, and this is not a direct quote from him. But he says, when it comes to people with underlying conditions, he said, we get it. But he said, but many of these people with underlying conditions are managing those conditions and could have long lives ahead of them. But they end up in hospital and die because COVID is the trigger. And then he went on to tell a story about an 82-year-old man that had come into emergency and an Italian man. And he was chatting with him. The man was sitting up on the edge of the bed, his legs dangling over the edge of the bed. And he was on a bed that had been stuck into the hallway. And the doctor said, you know, he chatted with him, visited with him, joked with this man. They talked back and forth for a little while. He called the doctor or the daughter of the man and said, you know, I think your dad's going to be okay. He's going to come through that. 4.5 hours later, the man was dead. And it was COVID again that brought about a trigger to other issues. And it was obvious this doctor was very shaken by this. Just today, I saw a text by Mayor Rex Paris. Now, you might not know who he is, but I have met him and heard him speak several times as a guest at Lancaster Baptist Church. He is a Christian. And Paris basically had put out an appeal that Samaritan's Purse, which is a large charity, Christian charity, led by Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, and they're actually sending emergency field hospital tents and equipment to Lancaster because their Antelope Valley Hospital cannot keep up with the number of people that need medical attention. And so my son Peter, related to me of a lady in their church who is a nurse who appealed to the church family and said, look, this thing is real. We are battling it in the hospitals. Now they're appealing for skilled people to come and set up this field hospital and get it running, and for medical staff now to come and help them care for all these people. It's amazing to me. This is in middle America, and field hospitals are being set up because of this disease. Still, in light of these grim realities, I'm not living in fear, and that's not why I wear a mask. Now, I also wear a mask, and I'm going to also say not because of this reason, not because I think that they're effective. I mean, if you'll think back to the start of this whole ordeal, the medical profession was pretty much adamant that masks really didn't do what needs to be done to protect from the spread of the virus. But then it got political, and then everybody capitulated, and here we are living with masks. So why do I wear a mask? I wear a mask because of my relationship with Jesus Christ and my ongoing life testimony of His grace in my life. I wear a mask because of biblical principles that I believe definitely have bearing on all of life. And I wear a mask because the love of Christ constrains me to love others and to put them before myself. Now, I want to take a few moments tonight to consider what the Bible says, and I will let it speak for itself, and then I will share some practical application that I've endeavored to put in my life and govern my actions. So we're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. So I want to invite you to turn along and follow along with me. If you're following with the notes, the whole selection of passages are listed out for you there, really so that you can go back and read them again on your own time. But we're going to go through all of these verses. So I invite you to go with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'll read verses 9 through 13. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hath knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weaker brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. And of course that famous statement, wherefore if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Chapter number 9, just the next page over, verse number 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And then chapter 10 and verse 31. Familiar verse, this one, but we'll read a little bit further. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Now, I want you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians. We've been studying that, and actually a text that we looked at not all that long ago. So 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5, will be really right where we've been studying there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Notice that, ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And then going over to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. This chapter begins, it really spells out the qualifications of a pastor. But let me just share one verse. Verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And then going over to Titus chapter number 1 And Titus chapter 1 again gives some guidelines, qualifications there for pastor, but some important verses that we could read here. Verse 7, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate," which means self-controlled. And then going over to chapter 3 of Titus and verse number 1. "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." And then my last text I'd like you to turn to is found in 1 Peter. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And I'll begin reading in verse 11. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest amongst the Gentiles." Now remember, conversation is your way of life, your lifestyle. We might use a modern terminology. "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, or as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." At verse 16, "As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." And I might suggest maybe spending some time reading through the Lord's words on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 and 7, and just read them carefully and slowly and pondering them. Now, you may want to ignore it. You say, "Well, Pastor, you read a couple things about qualifications for pastors, so you might want to ignore those." But I have to tell you, those are certainly worthy lifestyle examples. And though I understand the principle of, you know, of interpretation versus application, I cannot use that to excuse my ignoring of Bible truth. So we come back to the question, and I'm answering it for me. So why do I wear a mask? You know, am I asking the Lord for direction and grace to do something that I do not want to do? Here is what I have been convinced of the Lord to do in light of these scriptures that we've read. First of all, I wear a mask because I do not want to be an offense to lost people that I might meet. There are many, many people who are genuinely terrified of COVID and are convinced that people who don't wear masks don't care about anyone else but themselves. And there is some truth to that. Now, if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved." You see, I wear a mask because I want the opportunity to reach them with the gospel. I don't see any value in telling people that I care about their eternal soul when they believe that I don't care about their personal health. It doesn't really add up. Back in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, we also read in verse 22, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some, and this I do for the gospel's sake." So I wear a mask because I care about people around me. I wear a mask because I want the opportunity to share with them the gospel, something about if they die of COVID, where will they spend eternity? I also wear a mask because I care about your sense of well-being and safety. You as a somebody that I know, somebody who is a believer in Jesus Christ, somebody who is part of our church family. In 1 Corinthians again, in chapter number 8, we also read verse 9, "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." It goes on, "If any man see that you have knowledge, set it meet in the idol's temple, and through thy knowledge shall the weaker brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, ye wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ." I do believe that this is a valid application of this biblical principle, being concerned about those around me, being concerned about their relationship with the Lord, so that if somebody in our church family, if one of you is very concerned about this, that I am not being an offense to you. And I would suggest also that I wear a mask because I am endeavoring to follow the scripture, to follow the mandates of government and medical officials. I read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to king as supreme or unto governors or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." You know, I was sitting in my office working on this message, and I sit up here on this third floor. I looked out my window and I saw a lady walking down the sidewalk. And by the way that she was walking, it was, you know, she was walking quickly. Her arms were swinging. She had runners on her feet and she was pumping herself. It was obvious that she was out for exercise and she was wearing a mask. I tell you, I wanted to run down the steps. I wanted to go out and say, "Why are you wearing a mask? You know, breathe in the fresh air and enjoy the exercise." And literally, not 10 minutes later, I glanced out my window again. And here's another, a man and a wife, obviously together. Again, the same type of activity, the same walking, and both of them wearing masks. I got to tell you, and I guess you can tell, I really do not like masks. And I do not want to wear one. But I do wear one. And I've asked the Lord to help me to have His perspective that I might be able to have an opportunity to witness of His grace and truth to those around me. Which brings me now to another important subject, really, meeting together as a church family. You know, this is a subject that is huge on my heart and mind, and it is across the nation in our sister churches and pastors. I tell you, this current shutdown is really almost unbearable. Now, last March, when COVID was making its presence known, I mean, a wave of panic swept the globe and governments reacted in fear and began shutting down everything. And suddenly we're confronted. We have no church services. And boy, did we scramble to put something together to keep the Word of God going forth. And you know, really, there was an energy around here. We challenged this thing and we embraced it at both ends, here at church and you at home. And I remember those days. You were signing in, "Hey, Pastor, you know, here we are sitting in our church and, you know, we're going to get through this thing." And then came after, 11, 12 weeks, the long-awaited reopening. And at first, it was so strange. You know, the scattered seating, the mask while moving about in the building, the physical distancing, the sanitizing of everything. But we did settle into those new routines and it worked. Certainly it was much better than nothing. And for me personally, as your pastor, I loved preaching to real people, even if in limited numbers. And then the second wave began, and the numbers climbed and persist, and the decision was made, shut it down again. So what is our response to all of this? I have to tell you, it has been difficult. Number one, I'm not convinced that churches like ours are necessarily the source of great outbreaks. I don't think the records are there. I don't think that they have evidence that that's happened. And You know, we do have charter rights that protect our right to gather as a church and to worship God. There are several laws in place that protect religious freedom. There are even laws that say you can't arrest me for preaching the gospel. That's a good one. I like it. And of course, in some circumstances, we've seen in our country over the last month or so, these things being ignored. Several churches have gone on to ignore the lockdowns and gone ahead with meeting. And I got to tell you, their decision, their courage has been challenging to every preacher that I know of. Our pastor's email list, oftentimes there's a discussion about this and it's thrown out and there are challenges and, you know, articles to read. And some of those articles are written, you know, by guys who went on and kept their churches open and some who made national media because of it. Very inspiring, just fires you. Just all right, you know. I mentioned Pastor Wall a few moments ago. He said that in Ontario, some of the pastors got together on Zoom and they talked about, debated the issue amongst themselves. Should we open? Should we do this? Let's go. Some were on fire. Let's do this thing. And so there's a lot of discussion. And of course, as independent Baptists, we all are independent churches and have decisions that we need to make before God. Yeah, there's some churches that have become high profile, media attention, charges laid, and I tell you, it's a terrible injustice. I was at Costco this week, and my wife and I were returning something, so we were waiting in line to get into the building, and we were chatting with an employee who I was introduced to by Brother Leon in our church, and he is a brother in the Lord, and always ask about church and just a dear guy. And we were chatting and he, of course, asked how things were going at our church. And I shared with him, well, we're shut down like everybody else, but here we are at Costco with about 1,000 other people. You know, it's interesting. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something because I want you to listen to me the next few moments. I want you to not that I sense, because I have no record of it right now, that you're chatting a lot, but I'd like you to just to hold off on the chats and opinions right now. So maybe you're wondering, what are we going to do? Are we going to meet? When do we say, enough is enough, let's do this thing? Now the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Boy, I'll tell you, I love that verse. I think that's every pastor's favorite verse. All right? We're to assemble together. We're to come together to encourage one another. We're to exhort one another. It's not just me exhorting you. It's all of us encouraging one another. And boy, I'll tell you, we love that verse. But let's turn over to the book of Acts, chapter number 5. Here's another great text. Acts chapter number 5. I want to give you a moment to find it. Okay? And I'm going to begin reading in verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a powerful. We ought to obey God rather than men. That stirs my soul. But let's back up just a little bit in this text. All right, let's go back to verse 17. Then the high priest arose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. And then let's skip over to verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. You know, Peter's words are right on. And yes, it's a principle that has great application. But we should note the context of this whole thing. What had been commanded of them was that they were not to teach in Jesus' name. They were not to give the doctrine of a crucified, buried, and risen Savior. They said, you're going to bring this man's blood upon us, which, by the way, they said at the crucifixion, let his blood come upon us. Now, the command came from a religious body, the Council of the Jews. Folks, assembling together is extremely important, and we should strive for this. But though it's uncomfortable and very difficult, in a sense, we are able to at least gather as we're doing even tonight online. Do I like it? Absolutely not. Am I satisfied with the outcome? Again, absolutely not. But I have not been told that I cannot preach the truth of the Word of God. I have not been told that I cannot preach online the Word of God and preach the gospel. So, should we defy medical orders and meet anyway? Should we go against the state of emergency? Let's put it this way and think with me. If I as pastor were to declare to you, folks, this Sunday, regardless of what Bonnie Henry and Adrian Dix say on Friday at their special meeting, we're going to meet and we're going to meet all of us together. Everybody come, regardless. Come on, let's do this thing. How many of you would be ready? Or would there be many of you that would think, Pastor, I'm not so sure about this? What I'm trying to say is that, frankly, I'll be honest with you, there are times I'm ready. I'm done with all of this restriction. I'm done with preaching to cameras. I'm done with it. Let's go and let's meet and let's do this thing. But in thinking through some of the passages that we've already explored tonight, I still have a biblical admonition to care for your concerns. Now, I can't please everybody. That's a given. But on such an important matter of taking our church and its testimony and its reputation and its witness in our community and defying ordinances that have been properly or improperly, however you want to view it, in place, I should be sensitive to the feelings of our church family. Another reason is, again, my concern for the people of the city where God has placed us. Let's say that, let's be optimistic. Let's say that this summer things have finally settled down and we are able to meet and able to go out again. And to tell the truth, we may do it even if we're not able to meet yet. But let's say we go out and we're distributing flyers from house to house and inviting people to come to our church or giving them the gospel. And someone looks at you and says, oh yeah, I've heard of your church. Aren't you the church that held services during the COVID lockdown? And what about our neighbors up and down these streets that are very close to us? How will we ever be able to connect with them? Now, I know some of you are saying, Pastor, I miss church so much, let's do it. And I'm often tempted. I'll share with you, last Sunday night, we were in the song service, I was standing at the back of the auditorium, and Pastor John Mark, I'd ask him to lead us in singing our theme song for this year. And as he began to sing it, I got to be honest with you, I began to cry and I had to stop myself. He said, wait a minute, preacher, you can't do this. You got to preach in just a moment. But I tell you, I was beginning to think, all right, when are we going to be able to gather and sing that song together and lift our voices in praise to the Lord? I'll tell you, I'm very thankful for Pastor John Mark's willingness to stand up there and basically sing two or three solos for us. Some of us sitting back here will, in the back of the auditorium, sing along. I try to sing along, but the reality is it's very difficult and it hurts. My heart aches as yours does, but I must keep my heart and my mind focused on the greater purpose. And when this passes, we want to be able to go out with great liberty and proclaim God's gospel to those around us and not carry with us a baggage, a mark against the testimony of Christ. And then lastly, I want to talk a little bit. I'm going to use members. So we've got masks, we've got meetings, and we've got members. Last June, before we reopened, I preached a message on 7 R's of reopening. And one of those R's, there were several there, obviously, was the R of respect. And I think it's important to be reminded of this among ourselves as a church family. As the Bible says in Romans 12, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So, using the same principles that we've built upon through this message, we find that we need to treat each other with genuine respect. And there's really much more here than just having a sense of well-being amongst our corporate body of a church. There are the interpersonal relationships between all of you. Because honestly, we all think we're right, right? And all of the opinions that we have, you know, and we all tend to be just a bit critical of those who don't see things exactly the way that we see them. I mean, if they know what I know, if they'd had the experience that I have or heard the report that I know and I've got this information, whatever, and we begin to be judgmental of each other. Romans chapter 14, we read in verse number 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Verse number 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? That means dismiss him, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, I think the Bible makes it pretty clear that as a member of this body of Christ, I must respect my brother and sister in Christ. We are members one of another. That's what God tells us. And I must love them and show them grace, much grace. Do not forget, dear friends, that the devil is an opportunist who will take our opinions and develop great division in the body of Christ. So let me just pause and ask you to ask yourself, if you, in your thinking, that maybe there are people in our church that just don't get it, even me, what is the root of your opinion? How much praying have you done over this? You know, have you prayed, Lord, help them to see things the way I see them? Or have you prayed, Lord, give me the grace to love them and accept them and their opinion as being valid as well? You know, treating others with respect, not just on the surface, but from sincere hearts, is the mark of God's grace at work in His people. Now, I didn't think this little chat would turn out this way, but we need to have time to ponder what is going on all around us. And I felt like the Lord was impressing me to address the basics of our lives during this pandemic. May the Lord help us to keep pressing on in being His light in this sin-darkened world. Whether they know it or not, whether they want it or not, they need us to be God's ambassadors, to be able to share that message, be ye reconciled to God. And yes, we need each other, and we need to have grace to encourage each other and strengthen each other and pray together. Let's pray that God will open hearts and God will open the doors. If we say that we believe that God is sovereign, then He's allowed this for a purpose. But that doesn't keep us from going before the throne of grace and finding help in time of need and asking God, please open this door for us. Allow us to get back together. Allow us to continue on in our ministry that You've entrusted to us. So I hope, I'm not going to convince you to love masks because I'll never love masks. And I'm not trying to convince you. I'm trying to help you to see that there comes a time in our lives that we have to look to the Bible and look to the principles that are there and allow God to help us shape the reason why we do things, shape our attitudes, get a hold of our hearts. And I will attest it. You know, I've got masks in my car. I've got masks in every pocket, every jacket. I carry them with me, and they drive me nuts. I don't like them. But the reality is, I feel that I really don't help the cause of Christ by, ripping it off and being defiant and saying, I'm not going to wear a mask. What does that do? It doesn't do anything. It makes people, you know, people panic. People are concerned. They say, you don't care about me and my health. Well, no, instead, I'd rather you get saved. That's not going to help the message of Christ. So may God give us the grace. May we be sweet about it. Sure, I don't mind complaining about it. I don't mind telling people I don't like this thing. But at least I can show by my heart and mind that I'm trying to keep the doors open, that I can share with them the gospel of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we close tonight, I got a little email note, and I just want to share it with you. It's not very long. Dear Pastor Connor and the people of Greater Vancouver Baptist Church, we wanted to take this time to let you know how much we appreciate your faithful love and support toward us. Thank you for being a blessing both to our family and to the people of Uruguay. Without your prayers and monetary gifts, we would not be plowing and planting, reaching the lost, and encouraging the saved at Iglesia Bautista Fundamental here in Salto. We love you and are thankful for each one of you. Yours for Uruguay, the Paulician family. Just a short little note saying that we are loved and appreciated. And I thought that was really nice of them to send that, and I trust that that'll encourage your heart. Let me remind you that we do have we got mask event. Maybe we should get those printed up too. We have magnets available for you, and we want to try to get them to you. If you want to stop by the church and pick them up, and also let's remember our giving booklets. We'd still want to use this for you to use it as record keeping. And I know that many of you have shifted to online giving, and that's a great help, and we appreciate that. But we still want to get these books into your hands so that you can keep track of your giving and also help us to stay lined up with numbers that we have assigned to you. So again, I love you. I look forward to gathering with you online on this Sunday. You say, well, Pastor, what if we get the go-ahead to open on Friday? That'll be great. I don't think we'll be ready for Sunday if we do. And so we'll work through that. But let's keep praying. And can I ask you to pray? I have not checked the news much, but let's pray for our neighbors to the south. Today has turned into a day of great turmoil and confusion and upset. And we just really need to pray that God will protect the United States and bring peace and tranquility there, and that God will overrule some of the things that are going on. So let's close in a word of prayer, and I invite you to join with me in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, again, we thank you that you love us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be your lights in a very dark, sinful world, but also a very dark and fearful world right now. And Lord, I think it's as we are able to, you know, bear up under these things that have been placed upon us and try to do so with a cheerful spirit, that, Lord, that will enhance our ability to share the hope that lies within us. That this world is not our home, and we're looking forward to heaven. So, Lord, help us to have the spirit of grace in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be compassionate to each other. And Lord, I pray that you'll give me wisdom, Lord, as for our church, and help us to make right decisions that will allow us to continue to be a lighthouse in this part of our city. And Lord, today we do pray also for our neighbors to the south. Lord, the turmoil, and I've only caught just small glimpses of it as I've recorded this message this afternoon. I just pray for your safe keeping, and Lord, that you would bring peace to that country. Lord, such huge division that is there. And Lord, I pray for believers. I pray for Christians, and pray for your protection over them. And Lord, again, we love you. I pray for our church family. Help us, Lord, to walk with you and radiate your light. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, and good night.